Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God in Jesus' mighty name. All praises. Heavenly Father, once again, we want to welcome everyone to another episode of the Sound of Living Waters. I'm Joe Richard of Community Ministries Bible Study Class, also of the Commonwealth of Israel. Excuse me. We are dealing with, well, actually, this is the first fruits morning Bible study for you. Well, we're trying to get a hold of the first fruits. We're trying to access that spirit because neither one of us want to stand before God and He said, I never knew you. That's the last thing we want to hear. We don't want to be in front of the Lord. He said, I never knew you. We don't want to hear none of that conversation. We want to hear that He said, well done. That's the conversation we want to hear, that He said, well done. Faithful servant. Faithful and true servant. So how do we get to these things? How do we observe? How do we obtain that? At least hedge the bet on it, as my elder brother would say, hedge the bet on it. Well, I think we have to access the fruits of the Spirit. I think we need to access as many other fruits of the Spirit as we possibly can. What do you mean? The things that God said or spoke into us is laying dormant because we haven't called these things in existence. Why? Through ignorance. Why? Because we don't know the existence side of us. So we need to call these things in prayer. We need to ask the Father to activate these things inside of us. That is to say, His nature. His nature, not our nature. Our nature is sinful, sister. Adam sinned in a garden, you know, not throwing all blame and everything that's evil in the world belong to Adam. No, that comes from Satan, man. If Satan wasn't in the picture, Adam don't sin. In fact, Adam didn't sin. It was Eve that sinned, you see. So let's be mindful of that. Some of us really thought that Adam took a bullet because he didn't want Eve to die. Some of us really believe that. You know, he took that bullet because he didn't want to see her perish because he knew that that was the law. So, hey, God knows, man. He knows when we all, God willing, we live and we see Adam again, we can ask him, you know. He's coming up in the first resurrection, whether y'all believe it or not. He's going to be in the first resurrection with Eve. There's nothing in the scriptures say that they won't be. So what they saying? God. Look at Peter. You know, he denied God before the world. You could knock that off. Look at David. He's going to be in the first resurrection. So, you know, we can miss that. You know what I'm saying? So Adam is going to be in the first resurrection. You better hope and pray that we make it in the first churches and actually forget what they've done, we better be careful about the things that we are doing at this time, right?
Right.
So if we can, brothers and sisters, right, if we can stand and face Jerusalem, I ask my sisters to cover their heads, and I'm going to ask my brothers to uncover their heads and we approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brothers and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them that share it. Send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them, too, a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. So, once again, we're dealing with the first fruits of the Spirit. Why am I saying the first fruits of the Spirit? Because a lot of us has been taught that the fruits of the Spirit came with the apostles and Jesus Christ. That's not true. The fruits of the Spirit started here when he created us from the foundation of the world when there was no sin. That's the best part of us. So that's where we want to start at. That's where we're going to begin at. That's what we're searching out right now. You know, those things before, you know, sin enter into the world. We're going to look for the best part of both Adam and Eve, you know, before sin enter into the world. And then from there, we're going to search those things that God called good throughout the scriptures before we start dealing with those things that are contrary to the Spirit. In fact, we're kind of dealing with that subject now. Later on this evening, we call spiritual warfare, beware spirits. And that's dealing with the spirit that's contrary to this very nature that we are talking about at this time. And those things will cause us to oppose ourselves and God. You know, so we have to be conscious of that. So we're going to get into that this evening, God willing, we live. That is a doom. So if you want to be here for that, it will be posted. And let me do this right quick, because I did so I was going to do it yesterday, and I let it slip my mind. Amen. So let me do this right quick, because I said I was going to post this on my wall. This freedictionary.com, you know. I said I was going to post this on my wall. And I let it get away from me. I actually forgot, right? Right. So let me put this up so I don't forget today. Let me put this up now. And we're going to get into this precept. I'm going to tell y'all, brothers and sisters, man, y'all need this here. I mean, I keep paperback the source that 21st century reject. Dictionary, hey man, the source, that's a dude. You gotta have it. You know, you gotta have it. Ain't nothing like a paperback. Paperback will outshine any digital on every level. Why? Because when the lights go out, you still got paperback. Hey man, when the lights go out, you got paperback. Just never forget that. When these lights go out, got paperback. Amen. Okay, so with that being said, let's start this in Genesis chapter 1 and 26. 1 and 26, we're going to read down to 30. So it says this. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for me. So we're going to, this is before Adam and Eve was created, right? So these things were spoken in the creation before there was a heaven. You have to wrap our mind around that. Before there was anything called eternity or time, we have to wrap our mind around that. Because the book say in the beginning was the word. Well, this is the word. So this is all in the beginning. You know, this is what we have to take in and really consider. This is how God operates. So he said this. He had this written before time. So when it came to us being created, all these attributes was added to us spiritually first, because they were the word first. They were spoken to existence. Like, you know, some of us claim things by speaking them into existence. We have an idea how this works. You know, well, he wrote this in existence. He spoke and wrote this in existence. That's Christ and the Father. Remember now, the law said that they had took sweet counsel together. So however long it took before he put time on the creation, that is to call it the first day, you know, he wrote all these things out. And yes, the time did not exist until the creation, until he said the first day. Well, if you look at that and we consider that, then we have to understand that, yeah, the earth and the heavens is billions of years old. We got light that has just reached the earth that are billions of years old. You know, so there's stars and solar systems in our creation that's older than the sun. You understand? You know, we got stuff out there that's older than the sun. We have to wrap our mind around that, you know. So let's look at this. Let's get started. Let's go back to the top, because this is what we're doing. We're breaking it down. So we already did image. We're not going back to that. We're in likeness image. So he said, and God said, let us make man in our image. We broke down in us. We broke down God. We did all that. Now we broke down image, all right? So we did that. After our likeness, that's where we are. Amen. So those of us that uploaded this this dictionary.com, you know, we need to go back. We need to look up this word likeness, right? And we're going to read along with me. And what I'd like to do is bring the thesaurus up in a definition, because it entertains both spirits and brain. It tells you what it means. And it also tell you where the words are and what's affiliated to it. So we can go look these different words up that are attributes to the spirit. And also, while we're looking up these attributes, you got to consider this. There are evil spirits also that has attributes. So when God said that he cleaned your house, and you mess around and you end up with seven words, they come with attributes. They come with other spirits that pertains to them in that nature. So it is worse. Trust that. So we're trying our best to not sin against God in this likeness, right? So let's look at this word likeness according to the dictionary. It says that the state quality or fact of being like resemblance. And remember now, when we started looking at likeness, it's we looked up the word image. Image is a derivative of, or the root, I should say. It's to the root of imagination. And imagination is all spirit. And when we looked up the word imagination, it came, things like dreams popped up, visions, prophecy, foreseeing, creativity, lying, you know, being able to create thoughts in your mind. Thoughts came from image or imagination and things like that. So we've seen that in the first he gave us the spirit of having thoughts and judgment, because when you have a thought, a conscious thought, here come right and wrong. You know, like people want to say this earth began on a goof, you know, like a Big Bang Theory, something to that effect. I always like to repeat that on this one common denominator, and that is a denominator, and it's common, right? 1 + 1 = 2. That's a common denominator. My truth to the entire planet, that this is from God, that the earth and all the universe is created from God. What do you mean? Well, 1 + 1 = 2. That's an absolute truth. Absolute truth is consciousness. That means that there's an absolute lie. To say 1 + 1 = 3 would be a lie. So therefore, with absolute truth comes absolute lie. That's why he said a false balance in the Proverbs and the law. He said a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So that's an absolute truth. So you can't get around that. Nobody can get around that, because people say, what is true? What is true? What is true? Even Pilate said, what is true? But Jesus was on a mission. He had time to school him at that time. You know, God knows he asked the question. He probably gave it to him in it throughout time in his future. When he, after he saw all these things go down, he started praying to the God of Israel for mercy. But even having anything to do with that scenario, you know, of putting Jesus on the cross, you know. But he asked what is true. Well, this is true. 1 + 1 = 2. That's an absolute. That is not a goof. You can't go wrong with that. That doesn't need interpretation. None of that. This is something from the Chesedics. This is from the Chesedics. The conversation of the Chesedics is all things. That is to say, their conversation is numeric, an alphabet, so to say. Not this bastard alphabet that we use and that we call English, a.k.a. English, which is Phoenician, which only means sound. It's flat. It don't mean, this sound is nothing that we put into creation. It's a lie. And it's an abomination. Truth be told, we are casting spells. That's why they teach us to what? Have spelling bees. What are we doing? We're teaching how to cast spells. But the original tongues had vibrations. Like, for instance, if you listen to an Arab talk, you know, you listen to ha ha, it got vibrations. You know what I mean? Or African, you know, the Swahili, so to say, got vibrations. And then when you get to Asia, they have a song to it, you know, like, like that. It's a song. You listen to them talking. It almost sounds musical, you know, because that's a vibration. But this conversation we have right here, English, a.k.a. Phoenician, a.k.a. BS to the 10th power that we speak in Hebrew in, super BS that we think we can spell Hebrew with this bastard language, is the ultimate deception, which has come from the curse that's written in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that he said, thou shalt not understand thy enemy's tongue, because that's part of the captivity. So us even not knowing that we speak in this language is part of the captivity. Not to get caught up in all that type of stuff. But anyway, he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So likeness is this. The appearance resembles pictorial graphic sculpture representation of something, an image. So you see, image is the last thing in this. You see, the first principle of likeness is a physical, right? But the first principle in image is image. Likeness, the condition of being alike. What do you mean? Well, let's look at that. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And it says this. God, Hebrews 1 and 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, have in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. There it is. Likeness. Likeness. It says, upholding all things by the word of his power, and when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. This is why God said, you know, there's no images of Jesus in the planet, because he was the express image of the Father, man. How would Jesus look? That's how the Father looked. Oh, stop. The Father looked like he's 33? Whoops, I guess so. Because there's no such thing as age. There's no such thing as growing old in eternity. That's that old painting of Michelangelo and with his finger, he half necking with his pee-pee, you know, touching the son who's reaching out to him. He's necking with his pee-pee. And they homosexually looking at each other butt naked. That's not true. Because the word of God tells us in Psalms that he's clothed in majesty. So whatever they got that from is all homo. Now, let's go into 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 and Now watch this, because remember now, he said likeness. It says this, 35. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Well, guess what? We just found out that Adam and Jesus are twins. They look alike because they was made both in the express image of the Father. Whoops, didn't see that coming, did we? But there it is right there. Gee, that's why you don't have no image of Jesus in the world. None. All we have is all these scrambled ideas. Somebody might have got it right to a degree. But we can't claim it because there's nothing in the creation that dictates that this is the face of the living God. Even he hid it from Moses. So you know we. You know, it's here from us, right? He hid it from Moses. Even when Moses said, show me your glory, he said, but no man can see my face and live. Okay. All right, so it's not meant for us to see his face like that. Anyway, this dictate or connotes or let us know that Adam and Jesus were express images of the Father or God in Christ. That is to say, they both look like him. Directly. Even Eve looked it like him without the beard, right, in a physical form. That is to say, like, a man and a woman come together and say they've been together for, say, 40, 50 years or so. That is to say they only known each other, right? And eventually they're going to start taking on appearances like each other. Mentally, they're already conformed. But they're going to take actual appearances of each other because that's evolution. That's conformity. That's the form of evolution that we know, not becoming from ape to man, but actually being conformed into one spirit being to another. Love or marriage is spirit, and so you conform into that presence. Anyway, let's go back to likeness. It says this. The state of quality of fact of being like, resemblance, similar appearances, a semblance or picture, graphic sculpture, representation of something in image. Well, Christ and Adam were representations of God. Eve was representation of man. It said the condition of being alike, similarity. There we go, right? We see that Jesus and Adam had similarities. We would say actual similarities. And then we got these a painted, carved, molded, or a graphic image of a person or thing, as we see that this is all physical. And an imitative appearance, semblance, a portrait, copy, state of fact, or being like similar. Semblance, appearance of something, guise. Likeness, similarity in appearance or character or nature between person, things. Then it even gave the scripture, said man created in God's own likeness. A likeness, similitude, similarity, right? So let's look at this word similitude, because it pops up in Old Testament, right? I think it pops up when he showed and he revealed himself to Moses. This is a few weeks we can find it. Oh, let's see if I can find it. What did I do? Oh, there it is. Okay. Okay. Because he spoke this to Moses, right? And he was telling him, he told us through Moses, he had this conversation of similitude, right? So this is the first time we heard this conversation, right? So he's talking to Miriam and Aaron. And he just went off on them. He's about to go off on them because Moses is a Levite. He married an Ethiopian woman. And don't get this, write this in y'all mind. He also got a wife that's a Midianite that just went back with her father, Jethro. So Moses had two wives. So Adele's called Moses a wicked man or a sinner, and he gave the law, right? Okay. So for those of us that's living in this Babylonian world, want to, promote that homosexual thing and then have a problem with these things that's written in the law, you may be a homosexual or a DL. God forbid, all right? I'm just having fun. We know that. Anybody that's in this book, in this world, we know that we need more understanding in these things. My take is, if you don't agree with it, don't speak against it because it's the law. I teach this, but I can't ascribe to this because of this country and the world that we live in. But there's some parts of the world, this is not an issue with anyone, the government, or the wise that be. So, or the powers that be. Amen? So here in the United States, of homosexuality and sodomy to the 10th power, this is an issue. Right. Anyway, Numbers chapter 12 and 1, and it says this. Now, here come the word similitude. It said, which is a derivative of Miriam. It said, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. She wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't a Hebrew. Like, the Midianite was a Hebrew. His first wife, which is Jethro, that's Abraham's, one of his children, one of his sons from Keturah. actually, Moses married a daughter of Abraham, and his first wife. And it says this, and they said, have the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Woo! You don't want to have that conversation, you know, because the Lord said, that's not my anointing to do my prophecy. No, oh, we don't have this conversation. It says this, have you not spoken also by us, pride? And the Lord heard it. Ooh. And now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that which were upon the face of the earth. This is from God, right? And the Lord spake suddenly on a Moses, on an Aaron, and on a Miriam. Before that even fell out of her mouth, he called them out. He said, come out, ye three, onto the tabernacle of the congregation. And three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. Now, when we can read this in other scriptures, let me see if I can find it quick. I'm gonna show you what Moses, Aaron, and Miriam saw. I ain't gonna take the time to look that up. Anyway, they saw his image in the cloud. But we can read this. You can read that in Exodus that he actually come down. When he had a conversation, when he appears in his cloud, you can see his, you know, you can see him in the cloud. You just can't see all of him. It's like I'm standing in the mist, but you can't see my face, you know, or things like that, you know. But the Lord allowed Moses to see him in Exodus chapter 31 and 33. Why? Because Moses had to see what the priest's garments was going to be made like. He had to see how you praise the Lord. And the God of Israel showed Moses those things when he came down, because that's exactly what he did. He showed him the clothes, and he praised the Lord in front of him. Anyway, it went on. It says, and the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. They both came forth. Now, Moses is like, but then he afraid because that's his older sister. This is the one that talked the Egyptian woman into allowing his mother to breastfeed him until he got old enough. Then he sent them and weaned, and she sent them back. That was her, right? Because Moses only had one sister, so this is Miriam. That was Miriam that did that. And Aaron is his older brother. Moses is the baby here, so... However, Miriam was in her feelings or whatever because she's older than Moses here, right? Moses is busting 90, hitting 100, so Miriam had to be 100. 12 and 6. And he said, hear now my words. Okay. Well, I heard you. I heard you said this. Have you not spoken to us? Right? He said, now hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him unto him in a dream, which is in imagination. I will speak to him in his imagination or in an image, right? That's in the first. That's what we just got through reading in Genesis chapter 26. He just confirmed it, right? And then he said, I will make known myself unto him in a vision and in a dream. So he just let them know, I haven't revealed myself to you. I revealed myself to Moses, and he revealed himself, revealed me to you. So people get all in their feelings because they've been hanging around you. Now you know God. Now they got an idea who God is, but he's dealing with you. Then they start fronting, like, you know, having God. You know, I know about God too. Yeah, from what I told you. Well, God is telling us the same conversation. You better be careful with that conversation because you can end up with this. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him, I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches, dreams, visions, like prophecies and things like that. Not in dark speeches, and in similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Similitude, there it is. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore ye were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. similitude, likeness. He gonna see God. Moses gonna come up in the first resurrection, whether you like it or not. So I know it had to have been a conversation among the prophets and the disciples, man. Told Moses he wasn't gonna get in the promised land. That they, you know, that they probably was questioning themselves. Well, maybe God ain't gonna let Moses in the promised land because, you know, of the rock and that he said. Well, he just told us right here, Moses gonna see me. Moses is gonna see me. You know, just like David is gonna see me. Moses is gonna see me. Just like Adam is gonna see me. Moses is gonna see me. All of me. Because Moses is gonna look just like me. In fact, take this with you. He looked like me now. How come he wasn't afraid to speak? He got a veil on his face. You don't have none of that on your face. How come you weren't afraid to speak to him? Right? In a similitude, likeness, will he see me face to face? And he said this. This is what he said. And then he said, and the anger of the Lord kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from the tabernacle. Now, because behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. So that lets me know that Miriam had to be dark-skinned in order for her to become white as snow. She couldn't be Michelangelo white. You understand? Or else that's defeating the purpose, right? So this is just one of the fun facts, you know, that we know that Miriam had to be black, olive, somewhere around it. Anyway, so let's get back to the definitions, right? Let's get back to the definitions. It says likeness, resemblance, a person or a thing that is like or counterpart of another. Similar, resemblance, image, a liking or comparison. Smile, parable, allegory. I didn't see that. Wait a minute. I'm looking these three words up. I'm looking at first. See, this ain't smile. This is something else. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, that word came from similitude. Okay. A figure of speech, which is distinct things are compared by using like, as she is like a rose compared. It says, I don't even know how you pronounce this word. Let me see if I can hear it. I don't even know how to pronounce this word. It's not smile. It's simile. It says, a figure of speech in which two distinct things are compared by using like. It says, a comparison of a person or thing with another by saying that the first is like the second. Oh, my God. I did not see this coming. It says this. So he just told us Moses is going to look like him, period. But then he already had the fruits of the Spirit because he said Moses was the meekest man upon the earth. I guess you would be. You just saw God. He revealed himself to you. He didn't destroy all of Egypt, firstborn. Yeah, you would be the meekest man on the planet because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Knowledge of the Lord is the fear of wisdom. Moses had both of them. Because he knew God. God knew him, so he had to fear the Lord. So meekness was a no-brainer. Wisdom of God. The Lord gave him his word. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. No-brainer, right? And get this. The book said that Moses' strength wasn't abated, right? So he had the strength of Adam, you know, the strength of Samson. What do you mean, Joe? How you know that? This cat was 80-something years old when he was called into the ministry. So he already in the hundreds at this point. He already in the 90s, well, I was saying his 90s. Let's say 60. Excuse me. He was safely in his 90s. He walking up and down in the mountains with tablets of stone. He walked all the way to the top of the mountain 90 years old with two rocks in his hand. You do that. Okay, and he's 90. You do that. He got two tablets of stone that's made from the earth, and he didn't have no cart, no donkey to carry it. He brought them up himself. Past 80. Yes, he had the strength of Samson and Adam. Adam and Samson had the same strength. I would say Adam was stronger than Samson because Samson was a degenerate because of sin through time. But Samson was the strongest man on the planet in time or in our time, period. You know, some would say, well, you know, when you look at these movies, Samson, man, he was all muscular and big, like he was 6'5", and, you know, had long, looking like Fabio and all this. Old, no. This Ishmaelite I was kicking bowls with, man, you know, I say Ishmaelites, he was a Muslim, right? He was a Muslim to the 10th power. You know, me and my first rib with the visitor. Abigail, we went to visit this dude in the crib. We met Israel, and this dude actually was dressed up like an Arabian man. He had on the curly shoes and everything. I mean, he had curly shoes. His shoes was curled at the top. He had on Alibaba shoes, man. He was serious. No, that wasn't him. That was another dude. This other Ishmaelite was selling socks. I don't know about she still selling them on 75th Street by the currency exchange. But he's an Ishmaelite. He went to the mosque over there off of Stony, 75th and Stony. He used to sell socks over there for years. Thigh skin dude, right? And so we kicking bowls. You know, I hollered at him, man, because I used to cop socks from him and this, that, and the other. And one day we just, you know, kicking books. And he was like, you know, assalamu alaikum, you know, I like shalom, Prince, you know, blah, 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 blah. We kicking bowls, whatever. And he found out I was an Israelite. He was an Ishmaelite, whatever, you know. And we had similar things, you know. We kicking things about the dietary laws and this, that, and the other. So Samson came up and said, And he schooled me, man. He said, Samson had to have been a small dude. I said, why you say that? Because in my mind, I had Samson, like, rolled up, you know, Muhammad Ali tall, you know, big like George Foreman, you know, he knocking cats out. Oh, he must have been a small dude, like a, you know, like a Floyd, like, you know, Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray. I said, why you say that? He said, because everybody thought they could whoop him. You couldn't run up on him. You're not running up on Shaq. Talking about, I'm finna knock you out. You're not finna do that. You're not finna run up on most bouncers in the club saying, I'm finna knock you out. You know. But Samson, you know, looking like, you know, and remember now, he's fighting the Philistines. The Philistines was like 7 or 8 feet tall. It was some big people, which kind of gave me in the mind, you know, of Manu Bowl people, right? But they were much better conditioned than Manu Bowl people. But Manu Bowl people is a derivative of the Philistines. And they women, Manu Bowl women people is just as tall as them. So my take is, what was Samson seeing in them big, tall, giant women? I like to ask them that when we see them, right? Samson, what was up with that, man? They like super huge and tall, man, and they not exactly little women, you know. And I would love to know what he got out of that. But anyway, he had that strength. Moses had that strength. Adam's strength. Jesus' strength. I bet you 10 to 1. If Jesus wanted to, he could have took everybody out. He didn't need Peter to cut off nobody's ear. He whooped the Pharisees up out the temple. That lets me know that when he was whooping them, they were feeling it. They could have turned around and tried to get down and say, yeah, oh, yeah, that's my money. What? They could have turned around and did that because these are Israelites, right? When he was whooping them out of there, they felt that. They got the hell up out of there. He beat the snot out of them and made them lead a temple. All the money changers. and not one of them can. They had bodyguards. You know, they had bodyguards standing there watching people, you know, change their money and stuff like that for sheep and stuff. You know, they had bodyguards to watch the money. He whooped them all out of there. He put that Samson string on and let them know that I got it. And he did. So, anyway, that's a whole other conversation. It says this. Let's look at this a little further. Likeness. I just love just reflecting back on our kings, man. So, man, I didn't see that word coming. That's an excellent thought, man. Oh, wow. Simile, right? Simile. Interesting. I can't pull it up now because I'm using it, but I'm gonna see how I can say that word. But it's up under similitude. It's up under similitude as a thesaurus. It says, I'm gonna read the similitude. It says a likeness, liking, similarity, comparability, comparisons, equivalent. He said Moses shall see my equivalence. He gonna see my power. And he said this. He said mirror image, reflection, reflection. And so Moses did, because he ended up walking down the mountain with that reflection of God. And he said this. He said naturalness, resemblance, spitting image, duplicate, affinity. Oh, we looked this word up yesterday. Affinity. We got to look this word up again. This word here blew my mind on so many levels, man. I'm going to tell you, because I didn't see this coming, just like I didn't see that simile come up. But this here, it comes from the word affinidad, right? Or it's in a relationship with a word called affinidad. Let me look that up before I get into affinity. Affinidad, proximity. It said affinidad, is Spanish. Well, you already know that. It says this, exists. Oh, man, I'm passing all this stuff. It's like, okay. Affinity, natural attraction. So the Lord created us. Okay, hold up. Let me see. The Lord created us with a natural attraction. You know, he gave us the gift of attraction, that we would be attracted to someone else, right, other than ourselves. He gave us, he says, a natural attraction. That is to say, like, in friends, you know, like, man, you know, you good peeps, Jack, you know. Well, guess what? That came from God. That's called affinity. You just join affinity, you know, or kingdoms, man. Like, the United States and Europe are affinity. Hold on for a minute. I should say, or are in affinity, right, with each other, because they kinsmen, right? They kinsmen. Let's see. 1 second. So affinity means, you know, you're going to be attracted to someone. You're going to be attracted to someone physically, spiritually, right? This is a law. That comes up under likeness. You know, like, we both got the same likes. So that brings in affinity. We both have the same likes. So So that brings in the word affinity, which is amazing. I did not see that coming. You know, when I read this yesterday, I didn't see it coming. That, like, blew my mind on so many levels, right? Because I'm a student of the word, man. You know, most of us want to be teachers and da-da-da-da-da. You know, I get that, you know. But I'm a student first, man, and I love these things that pertain to him. And when I find out these things, I get blew back, and I get just excited. Like, you hear me now, I'm like, duh. I'm like, what? You know, hold up. Let me shut my door. So this thing affinity, man, when the Lord revealed that thing or that spirit to us yesterday, we found out that was a real deep spirit from God. It was a super high spirit, likeness. That spirit was up there with imagination to me. It was up there with imagination that we had to have, you know, when he gave us the spirit of imagination, you know, that was up there with that. And God gave us that. And so when he said that, you know, he created us in his likeness, he created an affinity between man and God. What do you mean? That we were like each other. That's why he said God loved his people. You know, God so loved the world. You know, a lot of us want to say, yeah, man, he ain't talking about the world at large, you know. He's talking about Israel, our world. No, man, he's talking about the whole planet. He said whosoever will, you know, and whosoever will is an absolute. You know, you can't just put that down on the children of Israel. You know, you got to say that's an absolute statement, that whosoever will. So God said he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So with that being said, if he gave his only begotten son, then he had to be in affinity with mankind, which is a derivative of the word likeness, which started when he created us, right? So he told us from the beginning that he was going to be infinity with mankind. And when I saw that derivative or that definition of that word, I was gassed. You could have bought me for $1. It was just way up the food chain for me, you know, because it was just too, it was too rich, you know. But then, okay, thank you, Father. He just brought it back to my remembrance. If you seek the word, like treasures and things like that, you know, and I get that, you know, but whew, God knows, man. He knows. That word blew me back. And I love him for that one, man. Likeness means affinity. Okay, stop it. All right. What's the deal here? Okay, good. So what else here? Excuse me. Let's see. Affinity. Attraction. So he created a physical attraction, you know, for a man and woman. You know, like, this is how we end up getting married. You know, we act like, you know, well, when he said, any man look upon a woman, he commit adultery. And we just associate that with every female on the planet. That's not true. That's not true. He's talking about married women. If you look at a married woman like that, then you're wrong. But if she like single and, you know, she ain't got no strings attached, you know what I mean? Then, hey, that might be your, that might be your rib. That might be your soulmate. I ain't saying it is, so don't be blaming me. You run up on her and she the wrong thing, or he the wrong thing because y'all all physically attracted and whatnot. And I mean physically attracted. We got to remember now, this is spiritual, right? Because all these things were written first. So Brother Job is saying, you better check out what's inside the spirit before you all get up in the net. I ain't talking about these brothers that be, you know, trying to hook you in with the word of God, you know, trying to reel you in with some book and this and that. Yeah, Susan, you mean how they keep out this book here, you know. Yeah, I got a little bit of science, you know, this, that, and the other, yeah, you know. Yeah, you just that and the other, you know, next thing you know, you all thinking, oh, that may be my bow ass. Yeah. Yep, that's right. That's your bow ass. All right. Yep. You're right. And before you know it, the thrill is gone. Yeah, you got that BB King theory. Nah, the thrill is gone. You know. Whatever, man. Because we ain't looking at it in the right light. You know, we too busy, man, being physical. You know, we too physical. We too physical.
1, 6, 5, 1, 4, 2, 7, 2, 5, 9, 7.
So, I hate the commercials, man. You know, you get this here for your car and the mileage and this, that, and the other. Ugh. Anyway, so, you know, it's physical, man. He created this emotion, man, that a man and a woman would be attracted, or you would be attracted to her. You know, like, I think Halle Berry is decent. I'm not attracted to Halle Berry. She is not my flow. I'm just telling you, everybody else is like all starstruck, you know, and all up in, you know, like you know, what was that? That Eagle flick that she was in with John Travolta, whatever. That's, nope. That she is definitely not my flow. So, everybody ain't attracted to the same gigs, you know. So he created, like Samson, Halle Berry ain't his gig. She would have never. You know how many Israelites that Samson could have pulled out of the tribe of Dan that looked like Halle Berry? But no, Samson had to give him a Philistine, something that was AC tall. You know that I guess he gonna play Manute Ball with him, you know what I mean? Who knows, man? But that, you know, what was up with that? You know, what was? I'm still gonna ask him, man. God let me live, man. I'm asking him, man. What was up with you with that call? You know, how you gonna be like all attracted into that? You know, this female feet like has to be about a 12. You know what I'm saying? How is that sexy? She got big feet. I ain't saying, you know, that, you know, women that's tall don't have really good looking feet, but they just ain't my cup of tea. Like I said, that's me. But she got big feet. I mean, 7 feet tall people. That means they got 12, 13, 14, 16 feet. What was up with Samson? You know what I mean? That he had this big time gig for that spirit. But that was his attraction. That was him. He loved that. You know, that was Samson. He loved that thing, man. He loved him some Philistine women. For whatever reason, that's what he liked it, right? Everybody ain't attracted to the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I can't see Jackie Chan trying to go out with a new bold woman, you know? I'm not even seeing him a new bald woman even trying to be a Jackie Chan. Exactly. So that's the next thing. Let's look at this a little more. This affinity, man. This is a beautiful word that he blessed us with. Like, this is a beautiful blessing. Feeling of kinship. Feeling of kinship. What do you mean? Let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. And let's read that. Because he said kinship, right? So this is what he said. My son, I'm picking up at verse 1. And it says, I'm read to the 4. It says, Proverbs chapter 7 and 1. And it says this. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live as in my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the tables of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. See that? That's that gift. That's the spirit he's talking about. That's the affinity, this here. He's talking about your affinity is this with the woman, you see. Your affinity is this. This is the affinity that we're looking at. He's talking about this affinity. That he's not talking about your very sister, but he's talking about somebody that would know God or have an idea about God, like Jethro's daughter. He was a priest of Midianite. So he may not have knew the God of Israel, but he kept the doctrine of Abraham. He was one of his children. Abraham taught all his children. So when the God of Israel led Moses to him, he knew what he was doing when he led Moses to Jethro's house, because he knew Jethro was going to help him get the priesthood in order. And that's what he did. He said, man, you're taking too much upon yourself. You need to set up groups, man. You need to set up this and that and the other. You know, he spoke to him as a father-in-law, you know, like in the 21st century, we want to have women and stuff like that as enemies of our relationships and stuff. And this is a talk spirit among us. But actually, man, in the day, we actually love our in-laws like family, you know. So anyway, this is that thing. So he knew what he was doing when he led Moses to Jethro, because he was going to help Moses with the priesthood. You know, he had the doctrine of Abraham in him, but he was a wise and older man, and he was older than Moses. And you have to consider this. Moses was 80 when he went back to Egypt. Jethro was his father-in-law. How old was Jethro when he was teaching Moses, when he met him in the wilderness with all the people that he brought out of Egypt, right? Let's wrap our mind around that. So he said this. He said, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. So you see, this is once again a spirit thing. This is a spiritual conversation. This is something that he said, this is written. This is not physical. This is up under like, right? This is up under like, or as we would call affinity. He said, join an affinity with a woman that's of wisdom and of understanding. That's what he said right here. Amen. So let's get back to that. It says, a natural tendency or ability to use or do something. Relationship by marriage. So this is that thing. Here come marriage in the picture, right? Marriage is now in the picture. Marriage is also written in the law up under like. Under like came marriage. There, you know, like instituted marriage. And it says, an inherent similarity between persons or things. Inherited. What do you mean? In the law, we married our sons and our daughters to their cousins. Not in this world. This world here, we look at that as taboo. But to me, it only makes sense. You watch this child grow up, then that's his cousin. You say, well, look, I know what this child is because I watched this child grow up. I watched her grow up. I know how she act. I know her nature. I know this and that and the other. I know his nature. I know this, that, and the other. It would be perfect. Look, how about we put these two together and they, you know, become affinity with one another. And so you had this prearranged marriage thing. They inherently similar between persons or things. This is that thing. That's the same thing with Abigail and David, right? She was a wise woman, you know, and so was Bathsheba, even though she made a mistake, but she was still a wise woman because she addressed David and things, and she also addressed Solomon and things. So she wasn't stupid. She was very wise. So, we can overlook the flaws and really take down when he started talking about them as people and started talking about the other part of their being and what they brought to the scriptures. And it says this, biology. In biology, it says this, an attraction or force between particles or chemicals that causes them to combine. So we are particles. You know, we are particles, atoms and things like that. And we are attracted to other particles. You know, this is when we, start, conforming our DNA. You know, this is why you can't have sex with another man's wife, because you start missing particles, you know, and then you bring in confusion, you know, of a spirit. Why? Because if her spirit is joined onto him and then she's joined onto another person, that's confusion. She is now messed up because she in between two opinions, and God forbid if she speak with anybody else. She a train wreck. So this is that thing. This is why a woman is supposed to be a virgin when she get married, because her psyche is so dependent upon that, you know, and so is his. And it goes on. It says, to the degree, watch this. It said, the attraction or force, it comes to this. Let me finish this biology part. It says, a relationship or resemblance in structure between species that suggests a common origin. So this is that thing. That's why I'm still tripping on Samson and the Philistines, you know. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he couldn't marry, you know, because they wasn't written in the law that he couldn't marry Philistines. It was other Canaanites that he couldn't marry. He could marry a Philistine woman, which was a Canaanite, but not exactly the Canaanites that he spoke against, right? This thing, right? So what was the, you know, maybe it was the pheromones that got him, who knows, you know, but that was it. He was attracted to the pheromone, who knows. He said an attractional force, it says, let me stay with this. It says the structure between species that suggests a common origin. This is why when you look at David, his wives are all of the tribe of Judah. You know, Solomon married strange women, you know, different women of different nationalities. But David married women that was of the same origin, okay? Not to say David is, you know, a better man, husband than Solomon was. It looked like both of them loved their wives. It's just that one loved his wife too much and the other one loved another one's wife too much, right? Or was attracted to another one too much. So I'm not getting into those stories, but those things are there. And you best believe that all of Solomon's wives were virgins, and they were all pre-arranged marriages. So that's that thing. Solomon wasn't just marrying some thing that was on the street. Solomon's wives were educated, and they were presented to him by kings. You know, because they wanted children of Solomon that would have this wisdom, and hopefully they would come back home and teach their people this wisdom that God of Israel will bless them with eventually, God willing. You know, that ain't to say that all the children that Solomon had wisdom, you know, as Ahab, you know, he's one of his children. He's other children of Israel. He's not out of the tribe of Judah. Jeroboam is out of the tribe of Judah. That mug. Ooh. Okay. Anyway, let's see. Affinity. a natural liking, taste, or inclination toward a person or thing. A person or thing so liked, a close similarity, an appearance or quality, inherent likeness. So this is why I said, you know, in our prearranged scenarios, you know, that is to say our children, when we prearrange marriages and things, they have very similar traits. They look similar. They had the same bloodlines and things like that. So we'll say, you know, in this 21st century, how could you do that? How can you say you would marry your daughter with her cousin because that kept diseases down? You know, you didn't bring in a gene pool that had perfections. All our gene pools are matched, you see. So you knew that your gene pool and their gene pool were one and the same. The only way your child would become anything other than a natural child or a healthy child is that you had an incestuous relationship. And that's where mongoloids and stuff like that come out of, those things. But when we were in our kingdom, that was our first choice, is to marry our children with our brothers and sisters. That's why Isaac's brother's house, that's Rebecca was his first cousin, you see. Rebecca was Isaac's first cousin. Leah and Rachel were first cousins, you see. So we had to wrap that around our minds. They were first cousins. Ain't no law against that in Leviticus. The law is that an uncle can't sleep with his niece and things like that. And brothers and sisters can't come together, or in-laws, like, you know, like say for his stepbrothers and stepsisters and stuff like that, they can't come together. But as far as cousins and things like that, Isaac and Rebecca were first cousins, and because that was Abraham's, Laban to Abraham? His father was his brother. His father was. And so they were first cousins. And, of course, Rebecca is, of course, Leah and Rachel are Rebecca's nieces, right? Because that was Laban's daughters, which is Rebecca's brother. So once again, that law is still in effect, you know. So anyway, it makes sense to me because, you know, one is that they may not have knew the God of Israel, how he was functioning at that time, but they all had the same similarities. Laban didn't eat pork. You better know that. You know, he had his gods, but they were Semitic. They didn't eat pig. They didn't eat unclean. Noah taught them that. The dietary laws was in the, Noah taught them that. We have very similarities, a lot of similarities. What else is that? It says relationship by marriage or by ties or other than blood, as by adoption, compare. Similarity in structure, form, and set between different animals, plants, or languages. So the children would look very like the grandparent. Everybody looked alike. That's why they knew what tribe you was from, you know, because your clothes was indicative of your of the nature of the people that, or your family that you was out of, right? Or a village or a town or however it became. It says, once again, biochemistry. Biology, a measure of degree of interaction between two molecules, such as antigens and antibiotics, or a hormone as its receptor. Once again, here come the hormones. So he created likeness. Remember now, likeness is the physical side, the body. So he created pheromones and pheromones, which are hormones. So we would be attracted to thermals and pheromones. You see, the man is attracted to pheromones. The woman is attracted to thermals. You see, so these things, this is where we got that from. So that came from likeness. You know, like I said, man, this word affinity, it really, it blew me back. It was like way up there with imagination, you know. So I started getting it. I started seeing why God had this conversation. Affinity, a natural liking for an attraction to a person or thing, ideal, etc. So we think alike, you know, a thinking alike person. Y'all have similar thoughts, you know, or you may into some point or another start having the same dreams. You see, this is another conversation. And it says, the object of such a liking or attraction in relationship, we still, now we're in ties. This is about ties. It says, relationship by marriage or by ties other than those of blood. So we got to be careful. That's Solomon theory, right? Start marrying women outside of the genealogy. And he ended up, you know, getting distracted because he married the wrong women. It wasn't a sin to marry a Canaanite. It was a sin to marry those seven tribes of Canaanites. And we have to know the difference. And he said this. He said, close resemblance, agreement, or connection. So we see a close resemblance. So they may have features, you know, of each other. Or an agreement. They have, they minds, they just jail, you know. Spiritually connected, they minds jailed, you know. This is when you know you and another person don't connect, because the person ain't looking at you as a spiritual connection. They're looking at you as a come up. So the physical connection or agreement will never stand because it was never there. That's why divorces are innate, because those, the physical spiritual agreement never took place, because these two souls did never agree spiritually. You see, they never became in affinity with each other. They were in a come up. Like a man would look at a woman and be like, she bodied up. I can dress as, you know, I can have her as a showpiece. And she be all in because he's spending money and this, that, and the other. But after a while, that get old. And a lie can't continue because neither one of them was really attracted to each other in truth. They were just attracted to each other in flesh and carnality. That's not a truth. The truth is spirit. So they never connected. So now here comes divorce, you know, or fornication in divorce and in marriages and stuff like that, because now they are searching for their truth. You see, so this is another conversation, you know, that we be missing. You know, just think if we had this brought up in our institutions, man. And I'm sure in our colleges, you know, when we're in the land, we taught our daughters this. Because we had women colleges, you know, and we had men colleges, you know. And I can read that because we had a sister that was a wife to a priest. She lived in a college. That meant, you know, if she lived in a college, she wasn't teaching men in this college, teaching women. We educated our women. We didn't believe like Arabs and Hamites that your women clitoris is supposed to be cut off. Or that a woman with education is like a monkey on roller skates, you know what I mean? It's like only entertaining. No, our women was to raise up priests. They were taught to raise up priests. That's why she was a Levite. She was married to a Levite. So she was raising up women that would raise up children to be children of God. Close resemblance, connection, or connection. A resemblance of structured behavior that result from implies by a polygenetic relationship. I didn't say that right. That's a phylogenetic. Can this up? Spotify. There it is. It's a short word. And biologic genetic is this. It's of our relations to evolutionary development of organism, biologic genetic development. You can almost say this is where babies come from. It's a Greek word, and it comes from I can't speak Greek. I didn't even try that. Anyway, it says, or pertaining to pertaining to or based on evolutionary or developmental history of a related group of organisms. So these, you know, people, we were related to each other by history, you know, history facts. It says, or in relating to an evolutionary development organism, phylogenetic generic or development. Let's see. It says, I guess that's it. It's another short word. Affinity brought that out. Okay. Biology, science. It says, family relationship, kinsmanship, and relationship. So affinity is when he brought likeness into the creation, he spoke family relationship and kinsmanship, that is to say, bloodlines and cousins and uncles and nieces and nephews. He spoke them into existence up under likeness, family relationship. That comes under likeness. It says related or connected by blood or marriage or adoption. So this is up under that. And it says affinity, a close connection marked by a community of interest or similarity in nature or character. So now we're talking about a whole community of people feeling the same way. What do you mean? Well, the tribe of Judah, we didn't mess with the Israelites once they got all off into Samaria. We didn't do that. You know, and the priests left Israel. The righteous priests left Israel, the 11. They left them. And they joined on to Judah, you know, for the most part, the righteous priests did. The weaker priests or the wicked priests, they were hired for Baal purposes, you know, and things like that. But don't get me wrong, not all of the Levites left Israel. You got to ask Ezekiel that he was a Levite. But he wasn't of the children of Judah. He was of the children of Israel. He was among them. But you can see that the Lord still had righteous priests among them. He was the son of Buzzai, which was a high priest. So Ezekiel was a priest. He dwelt among the children of Israel. So I'm not saying all the righteous priests left the children of Israel, just most of them, you know. And they had good reason to. I would have jetted too if that was the case. Anyway, or who knows? You would have had to buy in your car. You had to probably put up with them like Ezekiel did. So it says, a close connection marked by a community of interest or similarities in nature or characters found a natural affinity with immigrants. Right? This is why in Chicago you got the Polish church. You know, and they also say immigrant. And you got the Mexican church, which it has immigrants, and some of the churches have immigrants on it. Then you got the Koreans and all this sort of immigrants over there. In Chicago, it's really segregated in communities. So they have affinities with each other, felt in a deep kinsmanship with other students. Kinship, belonging or to characteristic of two entities or parts together. What two entities? Y'all family. Mother, father, uncle, auntie, grandmother, grandfather, you are bound by these entities. You see, that's in kinship, rapport, or renaissance. It's relationship of mutual understanding or trust. You got a good rapport with somebody, a rapport, a renaissance. It says a relationship of mutual understanding or trust, an agreement between people, sympathy. So the word sympathy came from likeness. It says a relation of affinity or harmony between people, whatever affects one's correspondingly affects others. The two of them were in close sympathy. Amen. There you go. And it says this. Affinity, the force attracting atoms. This is affinity. Now, here it is. This is why I said, you know, we all particles and so forth. So we got this thing said. The force attracting atoms to each other and binding them together in molecules, basic dye. You start going into that basic dye affinity of wool and of silk so you don't mix the elements together. So we are bound by hormones and pheromones and things like that. It says force, right? Psychic, physical force. We're bound by physical force. You know, I can imagine the force between Abraham and Sarah, man. That had to have been a doozy. And Isaac and Rebecca, oh, my God, man, being in the midst of them, that had to be like sitting in front of real royalty, man. So the affinity that produces a change or a physical quality, force equals the mass time acceleration. So force would cause the woman to improve her husband. That's her call. When she marries a man, she is a helpmeet. She is supposed to improve him. This bring in affinity. And in Harris, it says, for it says the influence that produce a change in physical quality. Why? Because he's no longer one, he's two. Equals mass times acceleration. Other words, he's getting twice the things done. You kind of love them old Westerns because you see that woman out there working on the field too. And you see the children, they out there working in the field. Paul, Paul. You know, they doing that old thing. You know what I'm saying? So they out there, you see that. You get it, right? Resemblance, similarity in appearances, external, superficial, and detail. What do you mean? This is why this is when you come back to that genealogy thing in kinsmanship. A natural affinity, a natural attraction of being in kinsmanship, an affinity in politics, the mystery between affinity between the two. What do you mean in politics? Because, well, yeah, politics. It says affinity, attraction, liking, leaning, sympathy, inclination, report, fondness, partiality. We ain't even dealing with the antonyms. A likeness, analogy, comparisons, correspondence, likeness, parallelism. Interesting, this word parallel. Resemblance, similarity, similitude, uniformity, uniformness. Affinidad, then we go back into Spanish, and that's that for affinity. So, I'm a wrap that up there. I'm glad I got a chance to get through affinity so we can go through some other things. God willing, we live tomorrow. We'll be able to pick this up, you know, and this preach of the spirit, man. Man, I'm really, really, really enjoying this. And I'm hoping to God that, you know, all of us is getting something out of it, right? So, God willing, we live. We get back to this tomorrow. And don't forget this evening. We're going to be dealing with spirits and beware of spirits, you know, which is the antonyms of all that stuff we just got to be looking at. You know, that's the Genesis 3:16 that was added at the sin. And I ain't just talking about the woman. I'm talking about all of us because it's inherited. It ain't innate. It's inherited. So we can overcome them things if we want to. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here, at the Sounds of Living Waters, read your Bibles. Shalom, Israelites.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.